Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, thanks for all that are listening. Thanks to all that have sponsors for our athletics here in Powell County and surrounding areas. We do have some that are out of the county, so if you are one of our sports sponsors, thank you all for what you do for us. We appreciate it. Without that, we couldn't broadcast the games that we get to. So tonight, we have a special guest with us tonight. We have head girls basketball coach, second year, Coach Rob Marion in the house tonight. So good to have you with us, Rob.
I appreciate you having me.
Again, I know you made a trip today to the YMT for the interviews that still going on. Ken Jones got that started a long time ago, and we're still doing it. So it's a good thing for the kids to get a little publicity on the far end of the 14th region.
Yeah, we're kind of on the other end here, so it's nice to get up there and promote the kids down here. Us, Estill, and Wolf, we're kind of forgotten about sometimes.
Yeah. I kind of said 14th, but they actually do the entire Eastern Kentucky part, the entire mountain area of Eastern Kentucky, not just the 14th.
Though, they do. Knox County was behind us today. So.
Yeah, the 13th, I guess 13th through 16th, I'll maybe get a shot at the WYMT. Yep. So anyway, how many kids did you take up today?
We took our juniors and seniors, which is 7, but two of them spoke.
7?
Yeah.
With such a small roster size, I didn't realize you had 7 juniors and seniors on the team.
Yeah, we're we have 2 new players from soccer, so that's probably why you hadn't seen them yet.
Well, I know a couple. I know LOL.
Yeah.
Came out. Who's the other one?
Bethy.
Okay, gotcha. So, yep. When will that air?
They did not tell us yet. I assume in 2 weeks.
Okay.
But most of the time, I think it's all online now, so you can go in there and.
Okay, so if you want to go and see the Powell County girls or the boys,
yep,
they're both now will be online at the WYMT website. So and that will air on WYMT or in the next month or so, as they traditionally do. So again, go.
Well, I was actually going to ask him just even as far as the YMT experience. So what do you think? Not only for yourself but even for your players, what do you think that actually does preseason for your team? Just to even kind of get that recognition and even have those conversations.
Well, I think it's good for them to get up there and see and have the experience. You know, they tour the radio station, the TV station, and see where all the shows are done and all that stuff. And they get to be together for one thing. It kind of builds a team camaraderie there, especially with the veterans. Also gives them the opportunity to understand that it's not just this district and it's not just us, Nestle and Owsley and Lee. So there's more to it. So especially to the newer girls.
Now, how many seniors do you have on the roster?
We've got 3. Well, Carly, Chloe, and Ella.
Okay. So Ella made the 3rd senior. So we are still low on the senior side. I'm saying 3 is low.
Yeah.
But 7 upperclassmen with the roster side of about 12, 14 is pretty significant, though.
Yeah. We have 16 girls and the three seniors and 4 juniors. And then, so we're kind of spread out a little bit.
Heavy middle schoolers. Kids you got out this year?
4, I think.
So that's a little bit down from the past as well, right?
That's normal. We actually have a younger girl that's not even eligible to play yet. She's been practicing with us and just trying to get her ready for next year. She's done a good job.
I'll tell you what, when the rule came in, well, I'm asking, just ask about the rule, where it restricts you, anybody that is less than 7th grade to be able to play a high school varsity sport.
Yep.
Good or bad rule?
Well, it can be both. And why I say that is typically some girls can come up there and play some JV and freshman minutes at that age. Obviously, it's going to be harder from my experience for a 6th grade boy to go up there and play freshman experience.
Girls sports, I think it's a little bit harsh for the boys. I totally get it. Although sometimes you've got a small school who maybe need those younger kids.
Yeah.
I think it depends a little bit on school size. I think the rule itself wasn't out there to destroy programs, which I think it actually hurt some programs. But for girls' sports, I think it did hurt somewhat, even for like schools our size.
Yeah, it does. It does, especially when you have 1 or 2 that could really come up there and help. And you know, we have 1 that could get some JV minutes if she.
Well, when you think of looking back the past 15, 20 years, we've had 7th graders who have been starters on the varsity program. So you know if they starters as seventh graders, they could have played on the freshman JV squad on their sixth grade year. You would think so. I've had fifth graders start being softball before, which surprised me. But when you watch them play the eye test, they pass all the skills involved or needed. And fifth grade was young, but the talent was there.
Yeah, and you have, you know, some of these kids travel year round and things of that nature, so they're more physically gifted or stronger than.
And again, the main thing I think there was the girls. It's more likely you see the girls come up and succeed than the boys are.
And that usually across the board, that is the case, no matter what the sport is, right? Girls, for whatever reason, in that middle school level, already have that developed skill set, whereas the boys a little bit lag behind, you know, and it could just be part of the physicality of whatever sport it is.
I think the girls are as athletic as they're going to get. Their quickness is there.
Yeah.
They do slow down once they get a little older, but they get smarter and stronger. So there are some offsets to that. But I think you definitely get stronger and smarter as you get older. But the athletic part of it, I think it's there when you're seventh, eighth grader, about as good as you're going to get as far as athletically.
And as a sixth grader, you can still see the physical difference, but it's not like a sixth grade boy compared to a sophomore boy.
Not even close. Well. You're right.
So as far as your team this year, last year you guys finished 10-20, runners up in the district championship. Tough game, obviously, you know, to lose by those 2 points. You get to the region, don't advance. But as far as the players, you lost quite a few players from last year, including some interior size. So what's the makeup kind of your team as far as at least your five players in a sense that you're kind of looking at, or those seven players, as far as what style that you'll even run, if it's going to be different from what you did even last year?
This is a complete turnaround from that, and a complete turnaround from the last 15 years. We had, you know, we went through a time where we had Dakota, Macy, McKenna, everything ran through them. We're guard heavy, and at some point you're going to see five guards on the floor, and it's going to be faster than anything you've ever seen, and probably crazier than anything you've ever seen.
Well, we've had times where, with the JV level or freshman level, we can play that guard style because when Ken was coaching, this is not a knock on Ken, but he would always pull your big post up, and they would be playing the post, and you're without a post, so you just kind of fly by, by pants in your seat, and just run out there and just press your defense and as fast as you can go, get as many shots up as you can, and try to get some of the and work at everything off of defensive side of the ball, which I think probably is kind of where you're going, run as many kids out there as you can.
Well, we're not going to be as deep as early. So we're going to have to adjust from what style I like to play. So we're not going to be, and I know you all were watching the last several games of last season, and we got really good on defense. And we've already, we're probably way ahead of that group at this time last year defensively.
This group, I can definitely see that with this group. You're quicker. You got some kids with some good good knack for the ball. They just kind of know where you're going, kind of have a good tendency to figure that out. And then the only negative of that is you've got a couple of kids that like to play, get a lot of steals, and they're their own worst enemies when it comes to fouls.
Yeah, well, you're not going to see as much pressing this year. You're not going to see as much man-to-man. We've honed in on the matchup zone, and we've already had one scrimmage this year, and we're really successful. And I think we have an opportunity to be elite defensively, even more so than last year. Our problem last year is we couldn't make shots.
We don't have enough people to score the ball.
No. Yeah. We got every shot we wanted every game. It just didn't go in. And it's hard to tell kids quit shooting or just throw it down to the post every time when they're getting what we want to get. And in practice, when you hit those shots, and it just didn't, it never translated, and I never understood it. I just couldn't put my finger on it.
Well, we had even talked last week, I guess it was, just even using Presley Hall as the example. At times, you know, she'd take a shot, she'd miss it. Well, now she'd be wide open, she wouldn't take it. But as the season went on, she continued to fire away, and then that accuracy began to improve at times where she felt comfortable. Even if she missed one, she'd come right back and fire it up. Do you have players like that now on your team that are a little bit hesitant in a sense, even in practice, or even going back to your scrimmage, and all of a sudden they miss a shot, and it's like, oh, even though I'm open on the next you know, the next possession, I'm a little bit hesitant to shoot?
No, we don't. We don't. We've had a little bit of a culture change and a little bit of a culture shock. We didn't get a full summer last year. I was hired late, so it was kind of, you know, it's kind of up in the air and the thing with Ken, and we miss Ken, obviously, but there's a big change in the atmosphere as far as, you know, the whole game's changed, not just us, the NBA, WNBA, all that stuff. It's, if you're open, shoot, fire it. You know,
right.
That's kind of what we do, and I'll take kids out for passing up shots.
Well, you've done that, though, in the past, even with your JV squad. And I know I talked to Roger some, and he's kind of the same way. You know, I know how Lindsay feels. I know she kind of grew up with that with that Ken Jones style offense, which is with no problem with that. But, you know, I kind of know exactly where you have to go because it's kind of what the personnel dictates that you have. So, you know, it's just it's hard to get kids to where they're comfortable missing a shot.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but you have to almost do what you just said. I'm taking you out if you don't shoot it.
Well, we're teaching these kids you have to have a short memory. You can't worry about the last one. You got to worry about the next one. We had a couple that, we spent some, quite honestly, some bad days with. You know, Lori, for instance, she'd miss one or just leave, miss one. They didn't want. But now Lori's, you won't recognize her this year. You just won't. She's come a long way and done a good job. And, of course, we have Makaira that, she's kind of our engine. She drives the team, and we're going to go as far as she takes us.
But if you don't have other people to score, it's difficult to win in high school basketball with one engine.
Yeah.
You have to have at least three kids getting points because, you know, that way you double, triple team a kid all night long. Or somebody gets, she gets in foul trouble, then where are we going to go from there? You know, and the kids know that. Yeah. It's not like it's a secret, so – those are some things all the kids have got to adjust to as the season goes.
Yeah, you know, our girls, they understand that Makaira's probably going to score a lot of points and more points than most, but they also understand their role and what their jobs are.
Well, with Makaira, she's never had to worry about a whole lot of misses, I don't think, either. Misses haven't bothered her in the past, I'll put it that way. And I think if you're going to be a scorer, that's what you have. You have to have that mindset.
Well, they bother her to an extent, but they don't bother as long. Now, as she's gotten older, especially, like she did a really good job. She probably had 25 against East Jessamine the other day, but they wasn't forced. And she's coming along nicely. And then, you know, we've got kids like Trinity Rowlands, for instance. She's going to score points.
Yeah.
Zaylee Strange is going to score points. And we've got great leadership with Carly Rogers and Chloe Grader. Chloe's been injured. She's only had like one practice.
Yep.
We helped get her back this week. But Carly has always understood a role, and now she knows it's her turn. And she even said that in the interview today. She said, my role in the past has been I've gotten water. I've clapped for kids. I've moved over seats. She said, and now it's my turn. And that's exactly what I wanted to believe.
Yeah. I mean, she's – she goes. She used to go in all the time and play a post position, and she's, 5'3"?
She's 5'4",
you know what I mean? And Chloe's the same way. Yeah. But, you know, the difference, like with Chloe, she played, the post for 2 years for Ken?
Yeah.
And smallest kid on the floor every time, but she's also one of your leading rebounders.
Yes.
Along with Makaira, because those two are the kids that just have a knack. I think Trinity's going to be one of those kids that has a knack for the ball.
She is.
You know, those are just kids that are just magnets. They'll find it somewhere. And if you could get kids like Lori to score the ball from the outside, or get her to drive where she's confident, you've got some options. I know Jess Lee was improving last year when we talked about her all the time. So
another that we hadn't talked about, Emily Reed. She works harder than anybody we have probably. She's playing in the park every day against men when her dad's out there with her, and she works every day, and you're going to see it.
But she improved. We watched her last year. She had improved at the end of the season. It was a totally different player than she was early. So we've definitely seen some of these kids improving last year when we saw them play. So it's definitely going to be fun, I think, to watch. I think it's going to be better. Again, you got to get some game experience under your belt. You got to have somebody to play against other than your guys, you know. And that eventually finally wakes them up to – okay, how good or how much things we got to work on?
Well, they've you're right. We need to see, and hopefully we're going to bring in like the boys freshmen and kind of see some of those things just because we're not nearly as deep. But we're a little behind in that with the flu week. We couldn't practice. That kind of hurts us a little bit. But these kids worked all summer. Every time I opened the gym, they were there. You're going to see a difference in attitude. They don't pout. If they pout, they're sitting. But they just don't do that anymore. And hopefully that translates into games and into the season.
Oh, I know this, and not a knock on the kids last year. I think this group may be easier to work with because of what you just said.
Yep.
I think they were kind of – you did have a couple kids that every now and then had some attitudes, and we'll share that to you as well. I think you all stopped as quick as you could, but you can still see it from our perspective. I don't think you're going to have the same attitudes from kids. I just don't think it's there.
This particular group they've always leaned on Makaira, and they get it and they understand it. But there's nobody that worries about me. They don't. If Makaira scores 40 and we win,
they don't care.
Mm-hmm. If Lori scores 20 and we don't win and we win, Makaira doesn't care. They want to win and they want to cut down nets. And there's a bad taste in my mouth, but there's also a bad taste in their mouth from that district finals game.
Sure.
Yep. And you have to live there too.
Yeah.
You have to go back and remember those games.
Push you forward.
Yes.
Sometimes
that big loss works out for you in the future. A win, you just kind of, okay, it's another win, so what? But the losses resonate.
Yeah. And
they really do.
Chloe and Carly, it starts with them, the seniors. Ella has come in, and she's really been a bright spot for our team. And Bethy has been a bright spot for our team. They're really fun to be around. They're getting better. They're doing the best, you know. This is their first year.
And yeah.
I think they can play some minutes. And the younger kids are playing hard and practicing hard. But Carly's kind of our quarterback on defense, and she did a good job against East Shetsman because she can see everything, similar to what Presley started doing last year. So it starts with them, and they're selfless. They could care less who does what, just as long as at the end of the game the score's on our side.
That's why I think this group may be a little bit more fun to watch, is that I can see these kids not caring because they won't play defense.
Yeah.
I mean, this group, when you just look at them individually, they like defense. They like defense. All these kids, I think, like the defense side of the ball. To me, that's fun. When you've got kids that like defense, it's fun. Now, taking that team that likes defense and putting them back into a – and I'm not knocking a zone. I think it's the right play. But you take those kids, put them in a zone, you do take some of their aggressiveness out at times. However, if you want to play your zone aggressive, you can.
Well, the way we started playing it and the way we're playing it now, it's almost a man-to-man zone. And I watched the WSKV feed from the Estill County perspective, and they had no clue what defense we were in. When we beat Estill, I mean, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want. They were calling it. They were saying, I don't know what they're running. Is it? Well, I didn't either. But it worked.
Right.
So it's aggressive, but it's not crazy. And honestly, we can't afford foul trouble. We just can't.
You cannot. You're not deep enough.
No. From our guard perspective, Makaira and Chloe cannot be in foul trouble.
And that was the same case, though, last year.
Yeah.
I mean, because you didn't have enough people that were scoring enough,
yeah.
I think. And then when you get those two in foul trouble, you've got your two kids that run your point more often. Now, I'm sure you got somebody to go to if they are, which, especially since Chloe's been out, that may help you in the long run because you've had to develop somebody else for now.
It will. Emily's done a really good job, and Trinity can handle the ball if needed. She's done a good job. Lori likes to kind of score off ball.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she'll handle the ball if I ask her, but she likes to be off ball so she can kind of get the offense going through her. So
you got another scrimmage coming up?
We've got one Saturday against Menifee County at Jackson City. Yeah.
Okay. At Jackson City. So is it a panorama?
It's a panorama.
And then Monday is Red White Night.
Yeah.
So how will Red – You're going to do the same things we did last year. Y'all got that planned out on what we're doing on Red White Night?
Yeah, same. It's going to be similar to
skills
that.
Competitions and all that good stuff. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was probably one of the best ones that we've seen in a long time just because of that interaction.
Yeah.
The boys, girls competing and, you know, and obviously already getting behind it a little bit more. Yeah, it's definitely entertaining.
I mean, to me, it showcases, you know, girls have got individual talents.
Yep.
In the big picture, a lot of times.
And the boys go harder because they don't want to get beat by the girls. The girls go harder because they want to
see a different level, yeah, and want to prove themselves that look, we're equal, you know. And I like that aspect. I know sometimes when you're scrimmaging each other, it's just kind of like another day of practice, you know. Here we are. We want to win, but it's just another day of practice. So you're kind of used to each other. So,
well, on one hand, that's even another incentive, right? In order to continue to develop your skill set, in order to improve, in order to beat the boys if you're on the girls' side, or beat the girls if you're on the boys' side, and even with your team, to me, that hustle and tenacity that McIver kind of brings and sets that tone for your team, everybody else can easily buy into that extra hustle. Sometimes she can reach in, you know, she misses a shot or something, and she can reach in and get those little ticky-tack fouls. Just has to be a little bit more under control under those. But yet, I feel like because of what she brings, everybody else picks up on that, and therefore you're feeding off of that. Now, I'm going to use my speed and quickness. Dave and I are going to double team you, right? Now, some we're going to get you in a trap, and now you're going to, what are you going to do? We're going to reach in, and we're going to grab the ball, and we're going the other way, hopefully to get an easy two.
You know, sometimes I think if she just eliminates the fouls that she picks up 80 feet away from the basket, she'll make it through the game fairly easy.
And it usually comes after
a lot of fouling in half court.
No, she makes frustration fouls.
After
missed shots.
Comes after a mistake in her mind.
If she can just eliminate those.
She has a gear that most kids don't have, and
that's
not
a fact.
Not many times we have seen in this school, and by the time she leaves, people are going to know that. But she has to be under control at all times, and she, you know, in the past she was freshman and sophomore. She's grown up now. She's different.
Our line used to be, okay, she's young. She's gonna, we can forgive it. She's a junior.
Yeah,
those days are almost over. She's got to be experienced enough now to where little mistakes that she has made in the past, she's going to have to kind of hone those in. And I think, as you know, she can be a great leader on the floor.
Yeah, she is.
She already is.
Yeah,
she truly is.
You know, I wish she was, well, we always wish they were 4 or 5 inches taller and got an extra gear. It just seems like, you know, if you're wanting to play college ball, they have a certain look that you almost have to have. It doesn't matter about your size. It's just, and it's kind of a shame that we've got, well, you don't have any big kids. I mean, it's just, nobody's over 5'7", I don't think, on your squad, are they?
Well, another girl we haven't discussed, named Gracie Pelfrey. She's a freshman.
She's a little bit taller,
about 5'11". She's had a knee injury from volleyball she's coming back from, but she's coming along, doing a really good job. I think, but before this year's out, you're going to be talking about her from a varsity standpoint.
Did she play some last year?
She did, played middle school, but she didn't come over with us because she played volleyball.
Okay. Which was the same season.
Yeah.
One of those.
And actually, she shined even in volleyball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially with her height and everything on that front line, you know. So I can see that transferring over to the basketball court, especially using her height and her skill set as well.
We've got some good young kids. Ella Napier, you probably know her.
Oh, yeah.
She's come a long way in the short time she's been with us.
Hasn't played a lot of basketball, period, right?
Yeah, she played a little bit. She played middle school.
She played middle school, but she hasn't. I don't think she's played like a lot of the other kids played since like they were like.
No, because she's a softball player.
Yes.
So she, which is a heck of a softball player, but she's really, she's grown a lot with just because she was timid when she came over because the older kids. But
she was timid when she first started. I'll give you this grain of salt here. She was very timid when she came over with us last year. Cause the season spoke for itself. I mean, it's just. She got very untimid very quickly.
She's come a long way. We've got some really good young kids in the program. We just need to get them where they need to be.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back with more from Rob and talk about teams around us, see what they got coming back.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a Level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, we are joined by girls head basketball coach Rob Marion, and back in his second year of service. So kind of finish up going over your roster and who else could chip in big for you this year.
Well, somebody who's going to lead the probably lead the JV in rebounding and probably maybe even varsity, depends on her, Amelia Cook. She is stronger than anybody we've got. I think she's been working out. She hit the gym hard. She was training hard. She's working hard on her post moves. So I think she was squatting 250 pounds. And for a 17-year-old girl, that's pretty good.
She's one of those kids kind of like Carly. I know she's a junior versus Carly being a senior, but she's kind of had her time where she's sitting and she's watched the other kids play at the post or whatever she's playing, but she's a kid that can actually go some good minutes in the post. If you needed like a 4-1 set or something like that, she's kind of one of those kids that go in, maybe do some of those things.
She is somebody that coaches love, and here's why. She will be more physical than anybody else, even on the other team, and she doesn't care. and you need that.
So yeah. If you've got a kid that's, I'm not saying a hatchet person, but somebody go and rough somebody up.
Right. If, for instance, if we're not rebounding the ball, you will see Amelia Cook check in immediately because I know what she's going to do. Now, she may get fouls doing it, but she plays hard. She just plays so hard.
And that's what you want.
Yes.
So not necessarily limit you on fouls, how many you get, but you go do what you do. If you foul, you foul.
Yeah. I need the ball. If I can tell her I need the ball and she's getting it.
She gets it 45 times and at 5 fouls, and it pays off, right?
And I love her. She may bring you back an arm or two, but that's what I want her to do.
You got the other any other kids that kind of, you know, that are new to the program that we haven't really discussed a lot?
Madison Brewer, she's new to the program. She's a freshman. She's come a long way. And Madison Anderson, she's a young girl, middle school, that's come over. And when she first come over, she was really shy and timid and didn't want – but she's kind of come out of her shell. So I've been really impressed with all the kids that have come over and played, and they're doing a good job.
How did the middle school team do this season?
They were up and down. I think Ella Napier had to play out of position some, and because she kind of had to do everything, but they had a pretty good season. They're just, you know, they didn't have a lot of numbers either.
Well, I was going to ask about the numbers because the numbers to me is concerning, especially for girls sports. I don't see a huge problem with volleyball, and really not a huge problem, I guess, with soccer, but for your sport and my sport, and we with the cross country program, it's low numbers.
Yeah, I think some of the other sports have taken the interest from our sports away, for whatever reason. I don't know, but really, and I've talked to Alan about it today, we're going to have to work. We're going to have to work on that to get these younger kids invested, whether it means travel ball or whatever.
I know I talked to a head coach, a former head coach, a couple years ago, and she had told me that, like, and this is, I'm talking about softball, but the seasons where they're different for the middle school sports run into your season, and they're playing other sports while they're in middle school. By the time they get to high school, it's changed, but they lose 2 or 3 years of development time before they get to you. And I see that as a problem. I asked you that question hoping I'd get a similar answer to what I've been saying on here. I'm not blaming anybody else. We've just added 2 sports to our program in the last 10 years. It has had an effect on, I think, our programs. Now we got to go out and, I guess, win and get the fever back for our programs.
Well, it really has done a little bit for those numbers. But, there was a few kids that we were expecting to play this year that didn't, that really hurt our numbers and really hurt our depth for one reason or another. But, we can only play with who we've got. So.
Well, and that happens pretty much year in, year out. Somebody that decided not to play that has played for every year, and then they decide not to. They're maybe their junior, senior year, and it is what it is. You go without them, you might still love and care about them, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yep.
Do you even think, as far as even with the COVID, but obviously with the number of girls that are coming out at the elementary school level, those numbers, even last year when they ended up playing, I think there were like maybe 8 to 10 girls who were actually on a boys girls team because there weren't enough girls to actually be competitive, to field a team. Do you know, are they even playing at that level this year?
We're trying. Alan's trying to start the league up earlier.
Okay.
I think there's a little bit of misconception about boys playing with girls in that, oh, my baby will get hurt or whatever. When you're in an elementary level, the girls can play just as well and just as rough as the boys.
Yes. Agreed.
Sometimes better.
Yes.
Than some of the boys.
I see it in the gym on a regular basis at school.
I'm just saying it's
It'll only help them. So if you've got a elementary age girl, it will help them playing against boys. And it's not going to hurt them at all, just in my opinion. And I've been around a long time and I've seen a lot of good players coming out here that, for instance, I used to take my daughter and your daughter, and we used to go to the park and play against men. Now I was there to help, but that's just what we did.
Well, but they grew up, they played a lot of the co-sports when they were growing up. It was kind of, I don't think they had numbers issues. They was getting better back then, but they didn't care to play against the guys. And I can remember even beyond like Shelby Megan, you look at Brandy Lockard and Charity Atkins.
Sarah Tipton.
Those kids played against the guys and were successful and turned out to be some of the better players that we had in our program. So look back historically, and they were right there with anybody else that you had. So there's some, I remember Sarah was my fifth grader that started softball, and she was an all-star in baseball as a pitcher, catcher, shortstop. So you can tell the talent there. They can compete at that level. Now, you put them in high school.
Yeah.
Boys are just too strong at the high school level. But at the elementary level, good to go.
I think it's a good idea to have them involved in that. Shelby played Little League baseball with boys, and I didn't care. It didn't bother me one bit.
I think the kids that played baseball when they were younger turned out to be better softball players when they hit high school. So.
Well, at that point, you also realize that you can compete with the boys, right?
Yeah.
And in your mind, you're thinking, I'm just as good as they are, so therefore, it's even forcing you to develop your skill set and to get even better because you want to be able to keep up with them to have that edge over them.
When I was playing Little League ball, we had girls that played Little League ball with us, and we had one that nobody wanted to face when she was on the mound. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, she was one of the best pitchers in the league, and nobody wanted to really face her, so it's... At that level, again, you can be competitive, and I think you learn some skills that you don't know that even you had. But at that level, you can compete.
We've toyed with the idea of having some of our veteran players going to speak in to elementary age girls and classes, and to try to promote it. So that's one thing. Like having Chloe and Carly and Makaira and Trinity and Lori and Bethy and Ella and all those girls and Amelia Cook. Go speak to these young girls at school and just try to help promote and get the numbers up back in. Because the COVID year really hurt the girls program. because it, the way it hit, and they just didn't get a season. And,
right.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the my girl can't play with boys and all this stuff. But,
yeah.
Which I do see that, and I can understand that. But just having gone through it, it's just not
having
the case.
Gone through it. You say it's easier than what you think it is, isn't it? But you have to live it first. But I get it. But now I don't think there's any harm in it at all. No. It's just like I don't think it's any harm really playing younger up. But again, we can't do it anymore. So it's just it is what it is. But you look now at these other districts. You're seeing numbers low in other schools.
A lot of schools are running into some similar numbers. Estill County's numbers are pretty good. Owsley and Lee hadn't had JV teams the last few years, and I don't know what the numbers are at Owsley this year, but Lee County's numbers are going to be down, I think. So
yeah, they lost one of their players, I think, went to another school, and one of the worst schools as far as numbers were last year is going to be one of the better ones this year.
Yeah,
a lot of kids coming in, who you look at the district for, as far as your main competition this year?
The district's going to be strong this year. It's going to be open. Owsley jumps out at you. They got Terry and Carly Smith back, and Lynch's little sister. They're going to be strong, but as you saw in our district finals, you know, we can compete.
Yep.
Ruth, we love playing against Estill County all the time, obviously, and Ruth does a heck of a job over there with Tiller. She's got Mia Hill's sister, and she's got a good post player, Angel, and Haley
strong.
Angel. Yep, and so they're going to be tough again.
Yeah,
and then Lee County, they lost one of their players, and I think their coach has gone to the referee inside. So I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Matt's gone to referee, and I haven't had a chance to speak with our new coach yet, so I don't know what their numbers are looking.
Matt was there for a long time with that program.
He was, yeah. But you're looking at Owsley and Estill and us. It should be a dogfight every time we get in the gym.
And, you know, it's just kind of like who shows up sometimes. When you're, I always say on radio, it doesn't matter. It's Pal S, so it's Pal Al. It doesn't matter. You know, if you're 10-point favorites, you find a way to stay close or figure it out by the end of the season.
Even with our best teams and they're, when they're not as good or vice versa, it's still going to be – we're still going at it.
It's that game.
And it's not going to be blunt.
Yeah.
Last year was different in the district. I think we just come out and shell-shocked them defensively, and they struggled defensively, and we confused them a lot. That's what happened.
Well, I think they had the same problem. What you have is limited numbers of people who are going to attempt shots for them, and when you have that issue, then it's a little bit easier to guard people. But now with this group, and again, these kids – like defense.
Yep.
And if you get kids that like defense, it's much easier to play defense.
What we've really stressed on defense is, especially with this matchup we've been playing, is communication. Every time we get in practice or when we were in it at East Jessamine, against East Jessamine, it was just chaos. I mean, everybody was talking. It was loud. We were flying to the ball. That's exactly how we got to play. Now, we ran out of gas probably midway through the fourth, but we were a week behind, and our conditioning level wasn't where I wanted it to be, and which we got to keep working on that.
I don't think people realize how much you lose. Ken showed this to me. I said, Ken, give him an extra day off. I think he had it figured out to a science. If you give them 2 days off, they'll come back rusty.
Yeah.
3 days off, they're terrible. Yeah. It's just you sometimes you won't give that extra day, but it was like, I get it now. I get why you went that extra day, because – You don't give them the 1 day off, they don't get nearly as rusty. Or you come back in on Sunday, they're usually pretty good to go. But if you give them 2 or 3 days off,
Well, good thing about this group, they ask to practice. I want to practice Sunday. Okay, let's do it. You know, typically we don't go on Sundays until we start playing Monday games. This bunch, they'll practice.
Which is great, because you want them to do that, right?
Yeah.
You want them to not only enjoy it, right, but okay, let's just keep getting better. And what's even, you know, you kind of talked and alluded to as far as, you know, to the perspective that they wouldn't necessarily matter who scores the most points as long as, like, we're able to win. So what is that chemistry and camaraderie at this point with the team that you have and even bringing in some of these new players? Obviously, it has to be very strong, right?
Yes. Well, we do things like in the summer we have cookouts, and like over at my mother-in-law's house. Shout out to Janice. We have cookouts and things of that nature where everybody just comes and it's not about basketball. So we've been able to do that the last 2 years. And excuse me. But also during the season, my mother-in-law would make a big pot of chili and everybody'd come and eat before the game. Those things, that helps build that team chemistry.
Little things go a long way.
And these kids, they just love being around each other. They just love each other. It's different.
You know,
that's awesome. That is. That's great to hear.
When you're with these kids, I used to tell people all the time, and especially with basketball, it's like, I don't know why basketball is that much different, but it just seems like you're together so much more in basketball. Season goes 5 months.
Yeah.
It's probably the only season that goes that long. You get almost tired of seeing everybody every day, but man, you get so close to those people. You're either going to love them or you're going to hate them, one of the two. And it's when you get the hate part, it's hard to coach that bunch. But this bunch is probably fun to work with.
Well, I think you all, and you know, but you probably know too. But I started out coaching middle school girls. So Carly, who's now a senior, and Chloe's a senior. I started coaching them in sixth grade, and and Jess Lee and Trinity were playing as fifth graders. When you're around a kid like that, and then they would come over to the high school, and I help with the high school, so I've been around these kids for 9 or 10 months for 8 years. I mean, it's just
they family.
Just, yeah, they're they're my kids. I'm like they're like my kids to me.
Yeah, you have so many different groups that you get close to. Man, I tell you, when you coach them multiple seasons, you almost see them too much. I mean, it's like the parents don't see them as much as we see them. And that's a sad statement, but it's almost true. I don't think the parents see them as much as the basketball coaches or softball coaches see them sometimes. We see them a lot.
And I've been saying for years that this is my last season. It's so hard to give up.
Got another kid coming, don't you?
Yeah, because my initial thought was when Macy and Bree and when they graduate, I'm done. Well, and here comes Presley, and then here comes Carly, and then here comes Makaira, and then Jess Lee, it's group, Emily Reed. And
put you back another year,
it's,
don't
it's just all, it's all the time, and at some point I'm going to have to say this really is.
You're not that old yet.
I'll be 45.
So. Well, see, I'm pushing 60. I'm still saying, okay, when is that time I'm going to call it? You know, and I'm not saying Ken is stuck around too long, but eventually you've got to be able to enjoy your off time.
Yeah.
And I think if Ken come back, he'd come back today. I mean, it's, you know, that's not a question, but you know, he lived it. He loved it. I've loved it. Now it gets harder as you get older. I don't know how he kept the energy up that he did for, I won't say how old I think he is, but for what he did, that was just amazing to go that long and do what he did was just absolutely. I'll never get to that age. I promise you that. that's way too long. But it takes a lot of energy to coach.
It does. You know, and I don't work with the school system, so I may work 10, 12 hours in a day and then come home and have to practice and then go home, sleep, eat, sleep, get up for work, come to practice and games. And it's really difficult, and Roger does the same thing. It's difficult to do, but I've found my love for the game again with these kids. I really have.
And it's easy to do with a group that you really enjoy being around.
Yeah.
That's what makes it special, and those are the years it's hard to step away from. You know, last year I told people in softball, we won four games, and I don't know what we were, but those kids, I love those kids just as much as anybody that we won 20 games with. Yeah. I mean, it was, don't matter how many you win or lose, I mean, I love being around that group, and I would have thought they won 15 by the end of the season, and we only won four, but I liked being with that group of kids last year, and I'll like it again this year, and I think they'll be much better, but
well, you know what to expect, and they know what to expect from the coaching side and player side. And obviously, when you have that camaraderie at that point, it all blends in together. And we're all on the same team, and let's go make something happen that's really special for ourselves.
And it can always happen. You just got to put the time in, and these kids have done that, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what's different with this group. And one of the reasons a couple of years ago I was going to step away is because I thought, you know, I just don't have the energy. I don't have the passion. I'm different. It's harder to coach kids these days. Yep. Coaching is different than it was when I started.
Sure.
And I can't do this anymore. And I honestly got a little bit soft, and I had to coach different, and I wasn't like I used to be. And these kids called a meeting in the summer, led by our seniors and juniors and said, we want you to coach us harder. And I said, you know what you're asking for. We do. And that's what we want. And I've coached them harder, and they've accepted every challenge I've given them.
Yeah. You know, I think these kids, I hear this from Kayla and Megan all the time when they're coaching. It's like they want structure. They want you to be tough on them. They want this. People don't do it anymore, but that's what the kids want.
They want to be pushed, right?
I think so. I think that's kind of what all of our kids now, I think they want to be pushed to a different level. And some kids, it makes basketball seem not as much fun because it's hard work. What these kids go through.
Across all the sports, for that matter.
Hey, y'all, man. When you get to high school varsity sports, it does maybe take some of the fun out of the game.
Yes, it does.
But because it's so much work to get to where you need to go. And really, these kids aren't even touching the tip of the surface.
No.
How much more work they would need to get to another level. It's that much more work you got to put in. It's just, but, you know, it's how much our fans should appreciate our athletes, because the work these kids are putting in, whether they win or they lose, we need to get out and support them more than we do.
Well, I would love to have full gyms every game. But these kids sacrifice.
A lot.
They sacrifice. Like, we have a rule this year. You don't bring your phone in the gym. I don't want to see it. I'm not going to listen to it. So on water breaks and all that, their phone is in the locker room. They sacrifice their home time. They sacrifice family time. They sacrifice times that they could be
working out
with friends or working and earning money. We had several that worked at local businesses and did a great job with us working around the schedule this summer. And like Carly Rogers, for instance, she'll work at Dairy Queen, drive from Dairy Queen to practice, and go back to work at Dairy Queen.
But it's hard to get those community members. Dairy Queen was always one that we always could push because they were all flexible with their kids.
Yeah.
But there are probably others that will do the same thing, but it's so hard to be an athlete. Practice, games. There's very little time really to work.
Homework. These kids are now have the opportunity to take college courses, so their lives are full. And to talk down upon a kid for losing a ball game, and she sacrificed her life for this. That's what I have an issue with.
Yeah, the game is not nearly as important as what
the
outcome is. But being involved, man, I tell you what, these kids, what they go through, it is amazing.
There's more to it than wins and losses, and I hope that when they leave here or have already left here, that they've gotten that. The memories, the experience, the love, all that.
Not a lot of D1 talent coming out of here. It's just, it's the love of high school athletics.
Right.
And to me, I can go watch any game, whether it's soccer, volleyball, any of them. And I appreciate what the kids are doing for the school. They're not going to get to do that much after they graduate. It's pretty much over. But what they do for this school, this community, they need a little bit of it paid back to them, you know.
And I'm not speaking out of turn when I say these kids that play these sports are probably your best students.
Typically, they are.
Yeah.
I know the GPA on my team is a lot higher than mine was when I was in high school.
No, but that's – I know Ken always, for years, he probably had the highest GPA of any – there's no way anybody competed with what – the girls' basketball program has put out over the years. There's no way anybody competes with that. And that's been for the last 20 years probably. And probably goes even beyond that. I think it's just – these are the kids you want to hire when you own a business.
Yeah.
This is who you want to.
And this particular group has made it fun to coach basketball again. I love it. And they're just fun to be around. We stopped and ate today and just had a blast of acting crazy and just having a good time.
They like that.
Yeah.
They do like that. We're taking another break here. Get behind. We're going to pay some bills here on WSKV and Sports Talk. Oh, I did it. PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a new phone, but really don't want to pay the hundreds of dollars up front for it? Appalachian Wireless has a deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage Plan. Instead of paying $600 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and then a few bucks a month more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay. And it's called the Appalachian Advantage because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live, right on cue, Ken. It just, that was a quick break. It's all right. We'll handle some more.
They get thrown in every once in a while.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the schedule, we talked about the district, what that looks like. What do you think the region kind of looks like as far as the teams in the region this year?
Leslie is will be number one in the region. They're loaded. They're going to be tough. They're big and strong and they've got a guard that's pretty good. Perry's going to be good again. Knott County lost their best player to Hazard, so that kind of spreads them out a little bit. Letcher County is going to be tough again. Wolf County is going to be better than people think.
Yeah.
Owsley County has two really good players. They're going to be good. Ruth over at Estill County, they're going to be contenders. So it's going to be pretty wide open. Leslie County's probably on a different step at this point. Before I see them play, obviously, and before things happen, but at this point they're probably way above everybody else right now.
Just kind of a random question here. What does Powell County need to do to step their game up to compete with the Leslies, the Letchers, the Knotts that kind of have dominated girls' sports, and I have to throw in Perry Central when you say that, have dominated the girls' sports for a long time now.
Well, we've got to get more involved with the youth. Also, there's a lot of player movement that way that don't typically happen here.
Never.
No. And I'm... You know, we play with our kids, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's what these kids work hard. We play with our kids. Like I said, Knott County's best player, the best player in the region probably this year, went to Hazard, the Macker girl. And she's good. Everybody else took COVID years. We didn't take those.
We didn't know. And I was looking at some rosters today, and there are several kids who have used the COVID years. Yeah.
So when you're talking about, There's a difference in a 19-year-old and playing against a 16-year-old. There just is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, so our mindset here, and I know you probably are having a different mindset than some others, but why not the COVID year for Powell County folks? Why did we not take it like others have used?
Well, that's a good question. Just my personal opinion, I think we're closer to Lexington, maybe. Maybe that's part of it, and there's more to do here.
Well, I know I got this answer from Estill County, and whether it's legitimate or not, I don't know. There were more college opportunities for the kids at Estill County.
Yeah.
So they could take a COVID year there, pick up 9 to 12 more college credits during the COVID year. So they pushed it more for, I get to spend more hours for free.
Yeah.
Before I go to college. It wasn't always to advance themselves athletically. It was more to advance themselves academically. And I totally got that, but that was really the main reason some of those kids held back for the COVID year. You know, even like the kids last year, I know Lexi was a holdback. And nothing wrong with that. It was out there for anybody to take.
Leslie County's got one still that's a holdback. Everybody up there had a COVID
year. And we'll see that for the next couple of years, right? Yeah, I guess when you had kids hold back when they were eighth graders and freshmen.
Yep.
And then hold back years. But that's something you saw, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
The red shirt kind of deal that you can't really do anymore without losing a season. No. So, but they found out a way around it up there in Eastern Kentucky. A lot of the kids have used it in Eastern Kentucky. So it would be interesting to see a poll about why they stay back
for those places. I would like to understand why versus here, which, you know, I never didn't pressure anybody. You know,
no.
Parents want, I understand if parents are ready for their kids to go to college, I get that, and that's all great.
But, you know, if our kids could have saved money by taking a COVID year and gained more college credits, which I'm not sure they even, if they could have or not. But if they could have, that would have been probably a wise selling point to some of our kids and parents.
Yeah, I think it happened really quick, and we didn't. Some of our kids didn't take advantage of that, and these girls obviously were younger when that happened, so so they didn't have that opportunity with college courses. But some of our older kids, I know three of them have told me recently they wish they would have stayed back a year.
I know Macy told me that one time that she wished she'd stay back and use that COVID year. But again, I think it's to each his own, and the kids go off and do something different, and it's fine. But it does throw us behind a little bit of everybody else.
And you know, when you walk into a gym and somebody that was playing for Knott's all of a sudden playing for Hazard, you're like, when did that happen?
Happens way too much in this area. I wish there was a better answer, but I guess there's not been.
No. And I think not fully understanding that decision, right, as far as them extending that, and obviously Esther was able to kind of jump on it and grasp it and then sell that to their student athletes, but it's hard when you're just getting a little bit of information here and there and can't quite wrap your head around it, and or even communicating that with parents, the benefits of somebody potentially staying back. It's a tough sell, regardless.
It's also a tough sell when you've got a kid in high school with a 4.2 GPA to tell them you want them to come back to high school again.
Well, but if you can save them $15,000, you stay another year.
But who was thinking about that at that time?
Not I.
Well, I think collectively as a community, we probably weren't, right?
I think some schools, some districts look at it that way. What can we save you by staying and playing? Not that you're going to play college athletics, but that's another year you can mature, another year you can develop.
I think we should have looked into that further. Now, I don't know as far as what we offer as far as college. I know we offer some, but I don't know if it
would. We offer enough.
I don't know if it would, yeah. So,
I think that might have been the.
But like kids like Presley Hall, she graduated at 17, and she was on a college campus as a freshman at 17. So she, you know.
I had a conversation with, I've said this before, with a Pikeville College dean whose granddaughter was playing golf and grandson was playing. And we had a conversation about college credits at high school. His grandson had almost 85 college credits in high school. And the gentleman from Pikeville hated it. He was at Pikeville College, and he hated it because he said he's going to be a graduate at 19 and never really experienced what it's like to be in college.
Sure.
He was almost not against that. I'm sure he wasn't against him doing that, but think about that. He's got to pick up 30 hours, two semesters, you're done. That's amazing you pick up that many credits, but he was kind of against it. It was you don't get to experience the college culture, which is he thought was important as well.
Yeah, at that point, you're basically, congratulations, you're joining the workforce now, right?
Work at 19. You know? But I guess you could be a doc, have your doctor by 21.
depending on which direction you're going in. Let's do this real quick. Let's talk about your schedule going forward as far as some of the teams that you actually will have on your schedule. Who are some of the ones that, you know, obviously are kind of marked? And obviously, you're starting off, you'd mentioned Perry Central, so that's actually your season and home opener that will actually be on a Saturday, December the 3rd. Other than them, who else kind of on your schedule that you look at that, you know, you think will be a good competition or a good gauge for your team going forward?
Well, going to Clay County is going to be a rough game. It's always rough up there, and it's going to be a wrestling match, and we get it. Also, Leslie on the 17th, that's going to be a big one. That's going to be a tough one for us. We're going to Bath County, and we play three pretty comparable teams, and I think we can compete. Then we're going to play Estill three times in a regular season this year. One of those is a Class 2A tournament that we're new to. So I told Ruth, let's just play twice a week, you know. So,
That's tough, actually, to play somebody three times, and that's not even counting potentially in the district tournament.
Estill County?
Yeah. So, once in the 2A.
Right?
Yeah. So it was a drawing, and Doug Brewer went to the drawing, and that's who we drew. That's
well, there's
guy.
eight teams?
Yeah.
Eight, yeah. It's, yeah.
And the boys are the same. They play us
really?
Three times. Sure enough.
Oh, well, I guess it was boys and girls.
It'll be boys and girls, and it's going to be the same. So we've got Estill County three times in regular season. And by the time you get to district, you know somebody so well, and it's just going to be...
Yeah, fun, huh?
But
just, you know, it's hard to beat somebody three times. Like you saw in the district tournament, Roger, myself, and Lindsay had a plan that we looked at those other two games, and It's hard to beat them three times.
It's very difficult because they know what you're, and you know Ruth.
Yep.
She knows you.
Yep.
We're predictable. I mean, it's
just you pick up on tendencies, right? Yeah.
What coaches like to do.
Yeah, and it's no secret who's going to shoot more and who's going to what we're doing. We know we're going to set ball screens for Makaira.
Yeah.
And Lori's going to go to the corner and she's going to check.
Them executing what you can do is different than they make than seeing what you can do.
Yeah.
It's just that's where it gets down to. Yeah. It's a little bit different, but it's a tough schedule. I know you were opening up with. You don't have a lot of home games.
No, our home games, we have a few home games at the beginning, and then we go away, and then we...
Stay away, seems like.
Yeah, we kind of stay away. we owed some away games to some of these teams, so that's the reason for some of that. But our schedule is... we can compete with the schedule. It's hard, but it's not crazy. Ken used to schedule... Just have tough schedules sometimes.
Real tough sometimes.
You know, we opened up against Lafayette last year, and we wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, a couple of teams we played in the past, we had really good teams, and I think he knew what he had. And those teams always got the tougher schedules. Yeah. It was just – and I get it. You know, you want your team to be as good as they can be this tournament time. That's when it's important.
Now, of course, our opener's tough, but – and we played Perry twice in the regular season. That's just because Misty and I we get along so well, and you know, we just enjoy playing against each other. Misty McElarnes.
Yeah. And she's a young player, right? Or young coach?
She helped Coach Napier all those years and then went to Breathitt and then went back to Perry.
Okay, I got you now. Now I know who you're talking about. So, again, it's a competitive schedule you're hoping to play this year. No secrets, really. Like I said, I was writing in all the games the other day for prep time to get ready for the season for us. And I'm thinking, dang, Rob. He didn't give us an equal opportunity to cover home games. That the boys have got a lot of home games, I guess, and then you guys just don't have as many. So, and when you do play, it seems like a lot of our games we're covering is like doubleheaders. So,
well, we've got a couple of these showcases I like to go to that Powell County hadn't typically gone to in the past, like the Kentucky Prep, Jackson City. We've got another one at Knott. We've got another one at Jackson, and of course the pre-Christmas tournament, but I like getting involved in those, even though it's going to be away, but it's a neutral site because we're going to, you know, number one, it gives our kids an opportunity to show off down there where they typically forget about us in Essel because we're at the end.
And I'm not knocking WYMT, but we don't get a lot of coverage time WYMT unless we're playing up that direction. So I think any kind of coverage you get in the mountains is good coverage, and they do forget about us.
Yeah, and some of these stations like Bluegrass and all that stuff up there, they don't see it. When they do these votings and things, they don't see our kids a lot, and it gives them opportunity to see what we've got and get some recognition.
As far as district and region, where are they this year?
District is at Owsley, and the region will be at Leslie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Picked a good year to beat Leslie, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But, Ed, what's your thoughts about playing a district tournament at Owsley County? I know what I know what my thoughts are, but just seeing what yours are.
Well, what do you mean, my thoughts?
Environment at Owsley County during the tournament time. What do you like playing there or do you not like playing there?
I do like playing there. I like playing there because most of the time, the gym's not huge and it's packed and it's loud and the bands are loud.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have a great band, and then they have a great band, and it just goes crazy. And Estill County there, you get that train going in there, it's you can't even hear yourself think.
My thinking is like this. I'd rather play it at Owsley than anywhere.
Yeah.
It was like the most fun environment because, like you, I mean, everybody's on top of each other in that place.
Yeah, you truly are, right?
I mean, yeah, it's just so, I mean, I'm not sure small schools, it's a good place to host a tournament. But, man, it's so much... The energy there is off the charts, in my opinion.
Last year, the girls' final in particular at Lee County was on a different level. It was like a throwback to old school. I mean, it was so loud.
Yeah,
so crazy.
I agree.
And I loved it, and the girls loved it. And
yeah, when you play, I'm not knocking our school because I think we've got by far the best school in the district to host a tournament.
Yeah,
it's just so big.
Yeah.
It's hard to fill it up for a girls' district matchup. But man, the energy you get those small gyms, and I don't know, it's just it's a different animal.
Yeah,
when you play those small gyms, like, and I kind of like that you get back to the small gyms and basketball.
I like it for the game, but for the sake of parking and things of that nature,
not very good.
Yeah, it's tough.
Normally, coaches don't have to worry about that too much. But logistically, it's not a great place to play. But as far as the game goes, I absolutely loved it at Isaac County. I just didn't know what your feelings were to go up there and play.
I do like it, but, you know, given that they're pretty good this year and we got to go up there.
It's an advantage for them, right?
It is. And they're tough to beat up there anytime. So.
Well, Carly's going to come out probably, I would think her and Makai are probably two of the top players in the district. And, you know, there's probably kids at Essel that are out there as well. And even Lee County probably got a couple of good players back, I would think, right?
Yeah. Well, you got Carly and Makaira, in my opinion, are two of the top five players in the region.
So did the player rankings come out as of yet?
It depends on what service you're looking for. We Makaira was underrated in some of the services. She finished second team last year, second team in our region. So they're going to see a difference.
So from the coaches, she got a little bit of support, but not necessarily all the
And some of those
media outlets.
She doesn't play up there a lot, right?
Right.
So.
It's hard to include a player when you don't see them on a regular basis. It's hard. You kind of exclude them and push them down at the end.
You know, and we've got kids second, third, Chloe.
Yeah.
Chloe. And people are going to be surprised at Lori and Trinity this year. Some of these kids are going to score points, you know. And
that's a good thing.
At least I hope. They look good in
practice. Well, I think, though, you know, sometimes I've said this in the past, as far as girls are concerned, it's only as good as your scrimmage team that you're playing. And sometimes, you know, we had some really good varsity squads. You look down at the JV, and, man, they were very competitive as well. So, you know, you got these kids that can push these kids. It's a good practice.
Yeah, Carly Rogers, she's really worked on her shot. She's going to make shots this year, and Emily Reed. So, we should – now, I thought last year, it just never translated for some reason. But this group appears to be different. I hope that's the case.
I think last year's groups, you had some kids that just didn't want to shoot the ball and were decent shots. Yeah. And I even said it on broadcast.
They should be
shooting more.
Yeah, you have to. You're wide open. Damn, toss
take
it up.
That shot. You know, I mean, I know – I'm thinking I know what you want, and I know what Roger says he wants, and I'm thinking that's kind of what I would want. Shoot the ball.
Well, when you're open, right? That's the whole point, right? You are open. Well, take that shot. Whether you miss it or make it,
depending on what score the game is and where you are in the game, I think – those shots are good shots. You know, you got to take shots to make shots. I mean, it's, it's.
An open shot's an open shot.
Not with 2 minutes left and you're up six.
Well, at this point, we're learning, we're teaching. We've always taught if you're open, shoot it.
Right.
We're trying to get to the point now to where we can get a better, if we can get a better shot, make the extra pass. But we're not going to talk down to a kid or yell at a kid for taking an open shot ever.
It almost becomes second nature, because at that point now, if they are open, they already know we're going to fire away. Yeah. And at that point now I'm open. Oh, wait, now I'm thinking, I'm inside my head. Oh, now I'm going to pass it. And then they miss those opportunities to take that.
Again, as long as the kids have some situational awareness when that comes off, maybe it doesn't come off, but to me if I'm up five or six, it's about possessions versus shots. We gotta protect our possessions.
Well, at that point, though, that's almost going back to the coach, though. Let's just slow it down and run clock, right?
No. it's about possessing the ball. I mean, whether you take a shot or not, it's getting the better shot. And you've got to get a really good shot at that point, because you don't want to give the ball over two or three times and it takes three possessions to catch up. I can't miss three shots in a row. You know, it's just kind of numbers at that point.
It's difficult, and the difference that I've found in coaching boys and girls – the difficulty is you're constantly, or at least I am, constantly trying to build these girls up to where they believe in themselves.
Fine line.
Because sometimes they don't. And sometimes they don't want to miss two shots because they just miss one. So you're trying to – so you'll never, ever hear me or one of my coaches say something to somebody from shooting a wide-open shot. I don't care if there's – 10 seconds left and we're up by one, we just don't – that's not what we're doing. We're trying to prepare these kids for beyond that, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you know, you're still trying to coach and win games.
So in the perfect world, there's a little balance.
It's
but
a fine line. Yes, it's a fine line.
Totally agree with
being
a fine line.
You've got to build these kids' confidence and let them know you believe in them, just like you want them to believe in themselves.
And that's true all the way down the line, right? Yeah. At that point, you want to build that confidence, again, where it becomes second nature to them. They know that in their head, all right, I'm open, I'm taking this, and or I'm not, okay, I'm going to make a good pass to the next player. Let's continue to rotate it to find that good shot.
Sometimes it's harder to make five passes than it is to take one bad shot. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to move the ball.
It's taken a long time to get some of these kids. Take Trinity and Zaylee, for instance. I used to have to yell at Trinity and Zaylee to shoot the ball.
Really?
They just would not.
Zaylee, I get. Trinity, not so much.
No, I don't know. This was back when she was in middle school. Okay. Now she'll shoot it. But she just, even her mother and Steven and her daddy, they've just yelled, you know, shoot the ball. And I'll be like, yeah, shoot the ball. You're up. You know, it took her a long time to get there. So you don't want to take that away from her.
No,
I
agree. Because I thought we saw some with her last year. She's going to score the ball for you.
Now,
definitely.
Lori was the same way. Now, Makaira, she scores, and that's what she does. Chloe will shoot it, and Carly, she'll shoot it. But some of these kids, you just have to build them up so they believe in themselves.
Well, they don't necessarily want to be the one who makes the mistake, right? They're lacking that thing. And, oh, I don't want to lose the game if I take a bad shot or if I don't make it. So, therefore, I don't want the pressure. I'm passing the ball and let it be somebody else, as opposed to saying, I'm taking that shot, and I have enough confidence in myself knowing I'm going to make that shot.
Well, I'm going to put Rob on the spot here. Rob's the head coach. He probably has in his head who the player he wants to have the ball. Because here's the thing. Every group of kids you have, there is a player on that team that doesn't care to take that shot. Who do you want to take that shot? That kid. Yeah.
I'd like to think that it but you would like to think that it would be all five of them.
No,
I'm just saying.
There's some kids that don't want that shot.
No, I get that, but I'm saying, but you would like to think that all five of them at any given time are going to have enough confidence that if it comes down to it, the ball's in my hands, I'm confident enough to shoot it with 2 seconds on the clock as opposed to making that extra pass.
Oh, in a perfect world, I would agree, but I'm talking about the last second. He knows
who's possessing it. Yeah, I'm just saying has the possession.
It's just like I had kids that coaching staffs would disagree. I want this kid with the ball because they don't care if they hit or miss. It's not going to break them down. They're going to cry about it if they miss it. And they're not going to get super pumped if they make it, but they don't care to take it. That's the kid that's going to make that shot more often than not because they don't care as much.
And that's who I want. I want somebody that's not afraid to fail.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what you got to have. Yes. I mean, that's just across the board, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're getting there. It's been a process, but I think we're getting there with these kids.
Well, obviously it's a long season, and yes, you want to win those games, but ultimately you want to be prepared when it gets to the end, when it's tournament time. At that point, now we're putting everything together. Now let's make a true run at what we're trying to succeed with.
Yep. You got to build the program to the tournament ready at tournament time. You want to peak. That's when you peak. You peak then, you're perfect. You did everything right. Whether you win one game or 20 games, if you're ready for district tournament,
believe in yourself, believe in your coaches, believe in your teammates, and good things will happen. Just keep that belief, right?
Yep.
Believe in yourself, more importantly.
We want to thank Coach Rob for being on with
us. Yeah, definitely.
I didn't know we went over
time.
That much, but thanks for coming out tonight, and good luck for the season, and hope you can have some more conversations as we go forward in the season this
year. Anytime, and if you want players or whatever, just yell. Appreciate you having me on. And
it's a long basketball season, right?
Yep.
Got any more shout-outs you want to give while we're –
No, I think
Janice was enough, right?
Janice was enough. She knows.
Well, we will say this too, though, and a lot of times after across the board, it's irrelevant. You know, when teams lose, nobody necessarily wants to talk about that. But we will say when your team wins, if you want to send a couple of players up to us, then we'll be glad to interview them before we sign off. Just don't take too much time to send them up. We try and hang on a little bit, in a sense, and kind of wrap things up. But, we'd be glad to talk to some of the kids on air.
We'll send them up.
Yeah, be great.
All right. We'll see you on
Thank you and good luck.
Monday
Go
night
Pirates.
For everybody. Come out for Red White Night. You also have a scrimmage.
Got a scrimmage Saturday at Jackson City.
What time?
4:30 against Menifee County.
All right. So that's where you can see the Lady Pirates this weekend. And on Monday night, see them at Red White Night, where their skills competition is going to probably highlight the night.
And we'll be there as well.
We will.
Alumni games Friday night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Alumni game Friday night. You got to pay to get in that one, right?
Yep. Anybody that alumni wants to play, come out and play, girls or boys, and $20 to play, and we'd like to see everybody who's been a part of the program.
All right. That'll do it. We'll let Rob go. We'll probably come back for some cleanup here, even though we're late. So we'll be back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware, right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here for just a brief update on what we're going to be doing here on WSKV. Sorry we ran over, and again, sorry for our programming, running over a little bit tonight. So, we will be covering Red White Night.
Yep, Monday night.
Monday night. Now I'll be doing the PA, and I'll probably maybe double up a little bit, and you'll be doing the radio. So have some interviews upstairs, and then on next broadcast
would be Friday, December the 2nd, which will be the boys. Boys will have a home game. They will be playing host to Montgomery County.
Yeah, they got now, two games prior to, right?
Yes, on the 29th, they will be at Menifee County, and on the 30th, they will be at Hazard before being home on December the 2nd, playing host to Montgomery County. So we will have the Montgomery County game on December the 2nd, and then we will turn around on Saturday and have the girls' home opener against Perry County Central.
And we will say again, tough start for those two here on the radio side. That is two tough games for the girls and boys programs, respectively, on Friday, Saturday night. But hopefully everybody can come out and support the Red White Night on Monday night here at the high school. Again, it's not just, you know, basketball. We're going to recognize the band, the cheerleaders. I think even some of the middle school programs, a lot of people you're going to see there. So
Skills competition.
And I think it added to, when they did that last year, I think it added to the night.
So, made for a great atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a fun night, so come on out and support the Powell County High School program. Again, these kids are putting a lot of work in for our community, so come out and support them and give them a little bit of a payback. Would like to mention as well, the Powell County cheerleaders did place second at the regional competition for cheer, and they will advance to the state competition in a couple weeks at GRC. So congratulations to the Powell County cheer squad.
Yeah, I think all of our fall teams really did a nice job. A lot of accolades to the various ones, including our band.
Yeah, band doing their, and I think they got their final march postponed again. So, again, they've had a fantastic competition season. So, again, it has been an interesting fall. Again, a lot of successes here at the Powell County High School, and we hope for more here in the winter seasons as we'll step away here from PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thank you for for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKD.